بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى اهل بيته الطيبين الجليل من تولى ومن اعدائهم وتبرع الى الله اللهم كن مليك يا الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل زمان وليا وراقبا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الدوار وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
There will be a small change from tomorrow, and that is being the night of the 13th of the sacred month of Ramadan, and it is known as the Nights of Splendor at Yom Kippur. So in addition to the du'as and program that we will be having, there is going to be a top-up of du'a mujir, and it is recommended in these nights for this du'a to be recited. So from tomorrow, inshallah, after iftar, we'll have du'a mujir and also du'a iftitah. And inshallah, as we go, this dose will keep on increasing. Okay, returning to our topic, and that is the wasiya we have for Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Here, Amirul Mu'mineen mentions to his son that Ya Bunay, tafahham wasiyyati waj'al nafsaka mizanan. Here he mentions some of the tips of how to socialize in the community, how to live with other members of the community. Imam says that you have to make your own self as the scale of balance in dealing with others. Now what exactly it means? Imam says, keep yourself as a mizan, as a balance, as a scale, to see the performance of yourself and the performance of others. And then says, فَاحْبِرْ لِغَيْرِكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. That what you love for yourself, you have to love the same for others. It shouldn't be as such that you love for yourself something more and you don't love that for others. Imam says exactly what you love for yourself, you should love for others. وَكْرَحْ لَهُ مَا تُكْرِحْ لَهَا. And the same thing, that what you hate for yourself, hate for others. And then says, لَا تَظْلِمْ كَمَا لَا تُحِبُّ أَن تُظْلَمْ. Don't oppress another, don't be miserable towards others as you hate the same to be with you. أحسن كما تحب أن يحسن. Do good to others as you want others to do good to you. It shouldn't be a one-way traffic all the way through. So it has to be whatever you want for others, for yourself, you have to ask that for the others as well. And then it says, وَرْغَ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا قَرْغَ لَهُ مِنْ وَلَا تَقُلْ بِمَا لَا تَعْلَمْ. Now this is for the second time, the same thing is being mentioned by Amir al-Mu'mineen. That is how to control the words we have, not to use too many words, not to talk too much. And here says, وَلَا تَقُلْ بِمَا لَا تَعْلَمْ. That what we do not know, don't say. You don't have to have a say in everything. There are people who love to talk about everything, that what is related to them, that what is not related to them. Imam says, Hasan, you don't be like that. Don't talk about that what you do not know. بَلَّا تَقُلْ كُلَّ مَا تَعْلَمْ. And all that you know, even that you don't need to say. Many a times, you may know a lot, but based upon the ability of that individual in front of you, you talk to him. A person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam
and says, Ya Rasulullah, why are you named Abu Qasim? Rasulullah said, because I had a son, Qasim. For that reason, Arabs, they have this kunniyah, and I was named as Amr Qasim because of my son. So based upon that intellectual level of that person who has asked, he gives an answer. That person, he said that if there is something else more than that, will that be possible for me to understand? Rasulullah says, yes. You know Ali, my brother. He says, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Says, I raised him. So someone who has raised him is like the father. So I am his father. And then he says, Ali, he is Qasimun Nair al Jannah. He is the distributor of the heavenly heaven. So if Ali is the distributor of the heavenly heaven, I am Abul Qasim. I am the father of the distributor of the heavenly heaven. So based upon the level and intellectual level, understanding of the person, you talk to him. Here Imam says, but لا تقل كل ما تعلم. All that you know, you don't think. Keep quiet. ولا تقل ما لا تحب أن يقال لك. Many a times we want to talk, and that talk may hurt another person. Imam says, if you don't want to be hurt by the talk which you will be listening or hearing from others, then you also have to be within your limits, don't trespass. Just talk to them in a way that if they talk to you in the same way, you don't get offended. So here, clear guidelines which Imam mentions, and then says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْإِعْجَابِ ضِدُّ الصَّوَابِ وَآفَةُ الْأَلْبَابِ. And know that the source of every difficulty is self-want. Many a times you want yourself, more to your yourself, this, that is that afat. That is that afat. For the correct way of life, and also that afat that will hit that your mind. And then Imam continues, says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ خَزَائِنُ مَلَكُوتِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ قَدْ أَذْنَ لِدُعَائِكَ. Says Hassan. Now this, inshallah, we talk on this for a few days. Says Hassan, know that he who possesses the treasures of the Malakut, that is, the kingdom of Allah in morality, in spirituality, the entire creation that we have, it has two dimensions. One dimension is this physical or this material dimension, and the other aspect is the spiritual dimension. Even if you look into the human being, he has two existences of his own. One existence is his material existence, which is his body, and the other existence he has is that spiritual existence, which is his soul. Everything in this grand creation is like that. Allah has a kingdom in mulk, which is the kingdom of matter. The same thing can be seen in Quran, Tabarak Allahi biyadihi al-mulk. Allah has a kingdom in the kingdom of spirituality, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In Surah Yasin, says he has his own kingdom in the kingdom of matter, he has his kingdom in the field of spirituality, both sides, both dimensions. Or even the sirat which we talk about, sirat which is the bridge, we have a sirat in this dunya, we have a sirat in the hereafter. In the hereafter, that sirat, it is that bridge which is surrounded by fire, and everyone has to pass that bridge, and that sirat exists in this dunya. All that haram which Allah has asked us to be away from, that is that sirat in this dunya. That is, if we keep away from that sirat, from all this disobedience and haram of Allah here, then definitely we will pass from that sirat in the hereafter. If we get stuck with the haram in this dunya, then definitely we will get stuck with the sirat in the hereafter. The same thing is over here. Imam says that someone who possesses the treasures of the Malakut, the kingdom of this dunya and the kingdom of that hereafter, أَذِنَ لِدُعَائِكَ, he has invited you to talk to him, to communicate with him. On this dua of which we just recited, we said that اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك. Here Imam al-Asr says, and over here this was here is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, Allah, you allowed us to communicate with you. Now the prayers that we offer, salah, it is the same permission that Allah has granted us to communicate with Him. So someone of that great position, that lofty position, and that is Allah, 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 He has permitted us, means He has given us that high caliber, that position, so that we can communicate with Him. Now in normal circumstances, in our day-to-day life, assuming a governor, for example, he is the person who possesses the highest status over here. Or for example, the president of a country, he is the first person. If you want to meet him, it's not possible. Maybe you will get an appointment if, after crossing so many ifs, if we do get an opportunity to meet him, maybe after a year, after 2 years, just for a few minutes. And that is the restricted practice that you will be having. Only you, yourself, no one else, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And for that one, 2, 3 minutes, we have to make all those arrangements from a year ahead. Here Allah, who is the creator of everything, who is the benefactor of everything, by whose command everything has come into existence, by whose command everything will perish, He has allowed you to communicate with Him whenever you want. That is the special grace of Allah. Says, قَدْ أَذْنَا لِلدُّعَائِ He has permitted you to communicate with Him, to call upon Him. وَتَكَفَّلَ لِإِجَابَتِكَ Not only that, He said, He has said that you come to Him and He has guaranteed that He will accept your dua, your wish. وَأَمَرَكَ أَن تَسْأَلَهُ لِيُعْتِيَكَ And then He says, He has commanded you to ask Him. And then when you ask Him, He has guaranteed that He will definitely give you. Now when He says that قَدْ أَذَنَا لِلدُّعَائِكَ That Allah has permitted you to come to His presence in prayers, for example, that is one of the applicables and one of the main applicables of His prayer. And for this prayers, we have to invest a lot more than what we are investing. And we have to correct this prayer. Because that hadith which we did recite on and off, it says that out of all of these prayers that we offer throughout our life, if we live for example 80 years, 100 years, whatever Allah has given to us, out of that life, if we count the number of wajib prayers, assuming 90,000 prayers are to be done in that 100 years, for example. Imam says, out of those many prayers, if you offered one or two correct prayers, out of all of those 90,000 prayers, those 40 prayers will be corrected because of that one or two correct prayers which you offered. It seems to be a big challenge, that is, offering one prayer in a lifetime correctly. For that reason we have to invest a lot. We have to invest on these prayers, the mood and the manner, the place where we worship, or how we are standing in the presence of Allah. And when asked, the noble, they say that what do we do to protect these satanic attacks in our life? Marhum Ajullah Bahjat, he says that in your prayer, focus. And don't allow shaitan to enter that prayer of yours. That is, if you were able to focus in your prayers for 2-3 minutes and did not allow shaitan to enter your prayer, then definitely you are guaranteed that shaitan will not come outside the prayers of yours and he will not attack you. So, normally it is said the other way around. That is, you focus. That is, don't let anything get into your system outside the prayer. In your prayers you will be able to be secure. He says, no, those 3 minutes, control yourself, and that 23 hours and 57 minutes, you will be safe. So that's a great big challenge that has been mentioned over here. And so for that reason, we have to invest a lot. And in this month of Ramadan, Allah Almighty, Allah has
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, we get help from the sayings of our sixth Imam Sadat alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. As what to be done in order to secure this prayer, to make it better. Imam says that inna ruh al mu'min la ashaddu ittisalan bi ruh Allah min ittisal shu'a' al shams biha. Imam says the rays of the sun which you see, they are connected to the sun. They cannot be disconnected from the sun. Here he says that the soul of a mu'min is connected to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala much more stronger than the rays of the sun to the sun. Rays of the sun, they can disconnect. Says the room of a woman cannot disconnect from Allah. Now that we are connected, there is some miscommunication or some disconnection that has to be corrected to put us back on track. Says that, Ya ayyuha an-nas antumul fuqara ila Allah wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid, that all of you are needy. He who is not needy is Allah. Now that we are all needy, we have to get connected to Him. There is no way out. Now when it comes to prayers, there is a lot to be known here. First of all, the place where we are offering the prayers, the heart which is getting prepared to communicate with Allah. So if you have this heart prepared and to communicate, that will be easier. If you stand in prayer with a restless heart, with a disturbed heart, then that heart will never communicate with Allah. Says that when you want to stand in worship, there are some preparations to enter the prayers. For example, one of the main requirements are that the private parts have to be covered or the body has to be covered. Says, now we mentioned initially that there are two dimensions to the entire creation of modern animaterial. The same thing is with this covering. Now this human body needs to be covered with a dress, with a cover, with a clothing. Says the heart also needs to be covered. Now what is that covering? What is that private part of the heart which Imam mentions over here? He says the attachments, the desires which distance you from your Lord, they need to be covered. So that is a lot. Says all this negative thought, all these negative qualities which a person may possess, all of them have to be covered. That is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ. Allah doesn't look at your faces. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. He looks at your heart. وَعَوْرَاتِ بَاطِنِهِ. And that and all those things which need to be hidden in yourself, they have to be covered in your prayers. What are they? They are all those khaba'is, all that indecency, all those negative qualities. What are those negative qualities? Like pride, like kibr, like backbiting, or hatred towards each other, all that is bad, and all that has to be covered. And Imam mentions here that خَيْرُ لِبَاسِكَ مَا لَا يَشْغَلُكَ عَنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, that the best of the covering you can have is that which does not occupy you, which does not make you occupied with everything beyond Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, against Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But يُقَرِّبُكَ مِنْ شُكْرِهِ, something which brings you closer to Allah, to be thankful to Him, to remembering Him, to be obedient to Him. وَلَا يَحْمِلُكَ فِيهَا إِلَى الْعُجُبِ وَالْرِيَاءِ وَالْتَزَيُّنِ, etc. And then Imam says that if you were to stand in worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, what do you do? That is the place of worship, for example. Here says that to perform a better service, you have to assume that joy that we are now masjid and watahura, which the Holy Prophet says that Allah, He has made this land masjid. The entire planet is a masjid. Whatever the place in this land, it is a masjid. Now, even this place of worship, it is a church. And people may be objecting that why have these worships being conducted in church? That's false. According to this hadith, says, joy that we are now masjidan watahura, that Allah has made this land, that is this entire planet, as masjid. And it is also mustahab to say prayers in a place of worship, it doesn't belong to you. Which is not a mosque, which is not a Husainiya. It's mustahab for you to say prayers because you are remembering Allah in a place where He is not remembered. Or even, we'll talk on this issue inshallah later with a little bit more detail. Here then says that Rahimallahu Imran Alima min Ain Wafi Ain Waida Ain. The whole ideology which Imam mentioned throughout is that may Allah have mercy on that person who knows from where he has come. And then says Fi Ain and where he is, Waida Ain and where he is heading to, what his destination is. That is, that origin has to be known, the destination has to be known, and where we are, that also has to be known. And that is one of the main. And if you look into the whole concept of creation of Allah, which is repeatedly mentioned, that is, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah, He has created man and jinn for worship, to serve each other, to serve Allah, to worship Allah. That is that whole ideology behind the creation of Allah. Now that you have come to your prayer mat, you know that the entire creation is the masjid of Allah and that His worship has to be performed. Now that we have been given that permission to stand before Allah in worship, how do we behave? Now here this glorious saying Imam says that when you come towards prayers, towards your prayer mat, says with very gentle steps, don't rush. With gentleness, come with humbleness, come towards your prayer mat. As if you are entering a danger zone. You are entering a zone which is very great, which is highly exalted. And when you are being granted the permission to enter, as if you are passing all that screening areas and you are coming to your destination. Now that you have come, Imam says, إِذَا بَلَغْتَ بَابَ الْمَسْجِدِ فَعَلَمْ أَنَّكَ قَدْ قَسَدْتَ بَابَ مَلِكٍ أَمِينٍ. That is, you have intended a king who is great. With that intention, come to your prayer mat. That is, you have intended a king, a ruler who possesses everything, and that he has invited only those who are pure. Now that he wants only the pure to come to him, with that shaky situation in us as to whether we are pure or not, we come to his presence. وَلَا يَعْذَنُ لِمُجَالَسَتِهِ إِلَّا الصِّدِّيقُونَ. And he has invited you, and who is he? He is someone who does not permit his presence but those who are trustworthy, those who are truthful, those who are siddiq. So Allah, if He has permitted you, as if He has raised you, He has elevated you, or promoted you to a rank of the truthful, of the siddiq, of the pure, and He said, come on, communicate with me, talk to me. And then it says, فَهَبَ الْقُدُومِ إِلَىٰ بَسَاطِ خِدْمَةِ الْمَلِكِ هَيْبَةً. Now that you are coming to His presence, slowly, with humbleness, gradually, come to your prayer mat, فَإِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ خَطْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. That you have come to a very exalted place. إِنْ غَفَلْتَ فَعْلًا. And then if you come to the presence of that prayer mat, or that presence of that king, the ruler, with your mindset which is just roaming around without the presence of your mind, know that he can kill you, he can ruin you, he can devastate you, he can punish you, because he is everything and you are nothing. إِنَّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ مَا يَشَاءُ. Whatsoever He wants, He can do with you. مِنَ الْعَدْلِ وَالْقَرْضِ. If He wishes to judge you with His justice for this disobedience that you've come to His presence with a mood and manner which is wandering around, He can judge if He wishes with His justice. And if He wants with His grace, He can give you everything. That is, for that time, we recall your memories in the past few days. We did mention all these riwayat wherein a person, he had committed a lot of wrong. He in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam,
he was saying his prayers. And then he says to Rasulullah, I've done this crime, this wrong, what do I do? And then he continued with his prayers. After his prayers, he thought Rasulullah had not hear what he said. Repeated the same request that, Ya Rasulullah, I've done this crime, this sin. How do I make up? How do I correct it? Rasulullah says, this prayer which you just offered, that was the correction. That was repentance itself. As a result of that prayer of yours, that wrong which you did has been waived, has been forgiven. So prayer is that great. And if you recall your memories once again, the pattern that we have for the prayers, it's Fajr, Zohar and Maghrib. If you say a Fajr at 5, for example, you put Zohar at 12 at 1, immediately within 7 hours. From that 12 to 7 p.m, once again you put a Maghrib prayers. So there is an equal distribution of time, then you put these three prayers. Why do you have these three prayers, three stops? The reason for that, if a wrong was done by an individual and if he repents within those 7 hours, a 7 hour grace period was given to him. If he repented, Allah says that he is forgiven. If he did not repent but he had said his prayers, says those prayers will count as his repentance. That is the grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for this beautiful institution which is prayers, which is salah, and that is for our own benefit. And if you look into those ahadith which we have, that is, if Allah says that someone has come to my presence and his mood is wandering around, I can change his face into a donkey. That is the very reason. It says that you come to the presence of someone who is everything and you are away from his presence. It's like being invited to someone's house and then we are talking to a third person instead of this person who has invited us. The same thing is with prayers. We have been invited to the presence of Allah, so we have to communicate with him. Not communicating with him is showing disrespect. Showing disrespect to Allah, according to this, when he says that either he can judge you with his justice, or if it's his grace, he will forgive you. But in either cases, it's a risky situation. In one of these ahadiths that we have, one of the ashab of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam wa salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
of a very high caliber. I've forgotten his name. High caliber meaning that, for example, the Maraji' al-Taqlid which we have today, who are the top-notch fuqaha of our time. Someone of that caliber, a student of Imam says, now this, he's an old man with white beard. Imam says to him, I want to see you pray. Say your prayers. I want to check if it's, how are they? He offers his prayers, this great companion of Imam, who is of that high caliber. Then once he was done with his prayers, Imam said, were these the prayers you offered? Aren't you ashamed of yourself with that white beard of yours? Is this how you say your prayers? So someone was so close to the Imam and his prayers were fought, Imam corrects him. So we have to look into our own prayers. Definitely, if they are faulty, definitely there is a lot of wrong in that. And we have to constantly keep on correcting these prayers. And inshallah, we continue with this topic. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Yesterday, it was mentioned that Prophet Yusuf meets a boy. Jibreel was in his presence. And he finds out that this boy was that very child, very infant, who gave that testimony, that witness in favor of Yusuf, that Yusuf was innocent. As a result of which, Yusuf alayhi salam was extremely happy. He gave all those gifts and he showed all that love and devotion to that young boy. At that moment, Jibreel was moved, was touched with this scene. And he says that how happy you were just by seeing someone who bear witness, who had borne witness for you, and that too many, many years ago when he was an infant and you gave him all those gifts and all that care, devotionalism and love was shown. And then Jibreel says, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is much, much more happier upon seeing someone who witnesses 5 times a day saying Allahu Akbar, as a result of which he gives and bestows many more blessings to this one servant who bears that testimony and witnesses the greatness of Allah 5 times a day throughout his life. But we don't tend to see all these graces of Allah, favors of Allah, because we are blind. We can't see. We can hardly see what we see in this world. What is beyond this world, we don't know. We can't hear. We don't know what the reality can. We ask Allah in this month of Ramadan, all these hijabs and barriers between us and Him, remove them. And this distance between us and Him, reduce it, inshaAllah. We have 2 types of sinners. Some sinners are adamant, mu'anid, meaning that they continuously, knowingly, what wrong is, they continue with sinning in their life. And they emphasize on those sins. If they are told this is wrong, this is haram, this yawmul marja, taqdeer does not allow this, and it is classified as a sin, they continue. For example, usurping the rights of others, that is a sin. Knowingly, we do it, we commit it. And even in the hereafter, the busiest stop that we have, there are many stations before entering the heaven, says that the busiest stop is that stop where the rights of people will be questioned. And that is, and no matter, and Ali says that no matter how many thousand times a person says Allah and asks Allah to forgive, but he knowingly usurps the rights of people, he will not be forgiven. For him to be forgiven, he has to correct himself. That wrong has to be corrected, and only then will he be forgiven. The last time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa
sallam,
before passing away, he ascends the pulpit, the minbar. And from that minbar, he asks the people to forgive him. Rasulullah is ma'asoon, is an infallible. But still he asks people to forgive him. This is a teaching that we have to apply unto ourselves, especially myself first, that if we have done wrong to someone, we have to have that habit of seeking pardon, asking them to forgive quicker. And this beautiful quality is present in children, but as a child grows, instead of those beautiful qualities growing in him, we find all the trash and garbage growing in that individual and becoming more stronger, but those beautiful qualities just fade day by day. Now the Almighty, He has sworn on His existence that oppression of an oppressor, a zalim, He says, I will not let go, I will not forgive, unless He corrects, unless He gets that forgiveness. Now that attraction of that forgiveness is only when He corrects that wrong. If He hasn't corrected, then Allah says, I will also definitely not forgive Him. And one has to clear this account here in this dunya, and things that need to be corrected, they need to be corrected. If that is prayers, if it's fast, if it's dues, if it's hajj, whatever, if there is something missing in our account, it needs to be corrected. A sinner is someone who has sinned and is ashamed. He will have mercy upon. Doors to return are open. Allah's mercy is also great, even though he may have committed great sins. Hadith says that you have to have that much hope in Allah that if you had committed the wrong, the sins of this man and jinn, that is if you pile up the entire creation of men and jinn, for example Allah created 10 billion men and 20 billion jinn for example. If all of them committed so much of wrong and one individual committed that much of wrong himself, says you have to have hope in Allah that He will forgive. That hope has to be there. And at the same time says that if you had worshipped as much as all of the worship of all of the creation of Allah, says you must not fall in the traps of pride despite you've got all that worship. Now, to understand that the worst of sinners are the 2 kinds of sinners. First of all, it was a sinner who is adamant in committing sins. He knows what the wrong and still continues and emphasizes on that wrong. And there is a sinner who does sins unknowingly. By mistake, things happen in his life. If you look into this Adam and Iblis, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and at least both of them did wrong, committed wrong. Adam corrected himself. He sought the nearness of Allah. Iblis did not correct. He was distanced from the presence of Allah. God, we have wrong. There is a lot of wrong that we have done. If you do not forgive us, we are the losers. God says that He accepted the Tawbah of Prophet Adam. Many of our sinners, they continue and are adamant in sinning. For example, in the court of justice, we see a lot in these courtrooms nowadays, like a killer who has killed someone has committed a grave crime. Now he will come up with all these different defenses that he is innocent. Although he has committed a sin, he has killed someone, but they keep on defending themselves. And maybe some of the justifications and reasonings may be right, but the crime he has committed, he has killed someone. In such cases, one must not defend himself. He has committed a crime and let go. You don't need to defend yourself and prove yourself innocent when you have been proved that you are a killer. Now the best and the luckiest women in this entire creation of Allah is Hawa. If someone can say, well, the reason was, why was she the luckiest? The luckiest, because she has a husband like Adam, who had done wrong and not corrected himself. And there is a further explanation to the saying that she is the luckiest woman because her husband was Adam. Women say that because she did not have a mother-in-law or a sister-in-law to keep her occupied. That is one of the reasons why she was the luckiest woman on earth. So Allah, He accepted the Tawbah of Adam. He says that, I love the cry of someone who has repented, who comes before me, cries much more than someone who glorifies and performs the speed. So before Allah, repentance is much more loved. Allah told him to Iblis, both of them had committed wrong, Adam and Iblis, both of them. To Iblis, he said, bow down before Adam. To Prophet Adam, he said, don't go near that tree. He went near the tree, he did wrong, but he repented, he corrected himself. To Iblis, he said, bow down before Adam. He did not bow down, he was ousted, he did not correct himself. So Allah's mercy was attracted by Prophet Adam. Allah's wrath was attracted by Iblis. Now during the time of Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi wa alayhi salatu wa salam, Prophet Isa was approached and was said that you have to have a dialogue with Iblis. See, maybe you are able to correct him so that he repents. Shaitan is invited, Prophet Isa is also there, and in this communication that he has with Iblis, say that, no, come on, all this wrong you have done, the doors of repentance are open, Allah will forgive you, ask Allah and He will forgive you. I will mediate. Iblis says, okay, I will repent. All the wrong that I did, I will repent. You ask Allah to forgive me. Allah says, now Prophet Isa comes and communicates with Allah and says that yes, Iblis has accepted, he is ready to forgive. You also forgive him. Allah says, yes, I will forgive him on one condition. And the condition is that Iblis, he has to come and bow down before the grave of Adam. Because that was the initial wrong which he had done. To have that wrong removed from his system, he has to correct it. And that is, he has to bow down before the grave of Adam. Prophet Isa is happy, comes to Iblis and says, Allah has accepted that He will forgive you on one condition, and that you have to bow down before Adam's grave. Iblis says, I did not bow down before Adam. Will I bow down before his grave? Never. So that is being adamant. So people, there are people in every community, they say that we have a lot of hope in Allah. We talked about all this hope. Wa rahmati wa sa'at kulla shay. Says, we know that we are committing sins, we know that we are wrong, but we also know that Allah's mercy is there. So, we have hope that He will forgive us. Now this type of an iman, it's not correct. It's exactly like what Iblis did. It is not guaranteed. It's like these insurance policies we have. For example, if you get a fully comprehensive insurance, they say that if your car is hit or if you hit someone, you are insured, you are safe. If I take my car and bang it to a wall, the insurance company, they say that you are not covered. It's an accidental damage which is covered, not an on-purpose damage which you have committed. Sins that are done knowingly, with full knowledge, willingly, they are not accidental damages and no insurance policy will cover. Allah says the same thing. Says that if you did sins unknowingly, unwillingly, by mistake, something slipped, something happened, yes, you will be covered. Accidentally. Knowingly, no. So people who say that, no, we know it is a sin. We know that Allah's grace is also there. We know that we will be forgiven, you will not be forgiven. That policy doesn't cover. It's as simple as that. So here Iblis also was not covered because he continued with this. And normally people who say this, they are in a danger zone. They definitely are in a danger zone. In one of these communications we have, Shaitan also has his AGM, annual general meetings. Shaitan has his general body meeting. And on three occasions he had this emergency general body meeting. First of the meetings was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was officially declared as Rasulullah. Says that moment he had that emergency general body, he invited all those chief of staffs he has, that something has to be done now. And on some occasions he himself comes in person, and this was the occasion when he himself comes in person. On the second occasion is that when Ghadir takes place. When Ghadir took place, Shaitan has a general body, invites everyone. And say that something has to be done, because if Ali is to become the Khalifa and to change, take the charge, no sin will ever be committed on this planet. Hadiths do certify that if Ali was to become the successor, immediate successor of Rasulullah, no sin would have remained on this planet Earth. So Shaitan, he worked hard so that this thing breaks and someone comes up who is a successor of himself. And in one of these riwayat that we have, they say that when Rasulullah was being in the funeral services of Rasulullah, then Salman or Abu Zar, one of them, they come to Amirul Mu'minin when he had already buried Rasulullah with his spade in his hand. He says, what news do you have? He says, this is what has happened. Abu Bakr has been selected as the Khalifa, as the successor of the Prophet. And then he says, I was amazed to see an old person, someone like someone who is an abid, who has worshipped a lot, with all these bruises on his forehead, as if someone has performed so many sajdas. He was crying the most in that meeting. He was the first one to extend his bayat allegiance to Abu Bakr. And I never saw him in Medina before, and I did not recognize who that person was. Amir al-Mu'minin says that, did you not recognize him? He says, no, never seen him. He says, that was Iblis, Shaitan, who had come in person to extend his allegiance, his bayat, because it is a mission which was successful. So says that on three occasions, Shaitan comes, has the general body meeting, first when Rasulullah is declared as the Prophet, second when Amir al-Mu'minin, Ghadir takes place. Even in the event of Ghadir, he is present in person to see what exactly is happening over here, to fight or lay traps. And then third, it is when Adam's Tawbah was accepted. That was the place when Shaitan was hit in a very bad way. That ayah was revealed, that Adam's Tawbah is accepted, and he was... Says in this general body which Shaitan has, to all his associates, says that something has to be done. One of his chief of staffs, he says that we can mislead, deviate people by lust or today sex. Everything has to do with sex. Says we will deviate them with sex, we will put them away with money, with dollars, whatever. And then Shaitan says, you will do that, but they go and repent. They repent and they seek the forgiveness of Allah, and He also forgives them. So they change track, they go back to where they were. One of the other members of Shaitan's general body, he says, I've got a trick, I've got a trap, I've got a plan. He says, what is that? Yes, they want to repent, I will tell them, okay, repent. Not now, Laylatul Qadr is approaching. You can go and repent in Laylatul Qadr. So I will postpone their tawbah. And then he says that I'll postpone their tawbah, not only that. And if he's young, I will tell him that he's young. Wait till you get old. There's a long time left, then you can repent. So this is tasweef. Tasweef also is a satanic trap. That is, if we have done wrong, tawbah is wajib fawri. Instantly, immediately, we have to repent there and then, no matter what sin. Postponing and delaying tawbah, that is another sin on top of the sin that was committed, that is tasweef. So delaying and waiting for Laylatul Qadr to come, delaying and waiting for an old age to come, and then saying, not now, we are young, we can do Hajj when we have retired, when we are a senior citizen. We can do it on a wheelchair, much more comfortable. So that is tasweef. If Hajj has become wajib, it has to be done there and then, on that very year. So this is how Shaitan lays his traps by all these different policies which he has. And if you look into this, for example, about Abdullah Hussein, his companions, we cannot say that someone who had not done any wrong, who has not repented, was with Abu Abdullah from day one, is the same as Hur. No. Hur did commit a mistake, a great mistake. It was Hur that did not allow Abu Abdullah Hussein to return to Medina. Had that not taken place, maybe Karbala also would not have had come into existence. It was Hur that resulted in the women and children of Abu Abdullah to be taken into captivity from town to town. It was Hur that opened up this whole scenario of Karbala, a big wrong that was done by him. He corrected, he repented, he was forgiven. Now compare this horror with Habib ibn Mazahir, who was with Abu Abdullah Hussein from day one. They are no match to each other. In rank, Habib ibn Mazahir is much higher. Although the repentance of this person, Hur, was accepted, the same thing we have in Ahadith, Masumin alayhi salam, they say that not committing a sin, a wrong, is easier than tawbah, repentance. As to whether or not a person would get that opportunity to perform tawbah, that is not guaranteed. So tawbah, it's good. That is a beautiful institution that Allah Ta'ala has placed for each one of us to repent. In Quran, we find that one. Someone in whose heart Amir al-Mu'mineen exists, such a person does not sin willingly. By mistake, yes, it may so happen. But if I have Amir al-Mu'mineen dwelling in my heart, I cannot sin openly, I cannot sin willingly, I cannot sin knowingly. So that is the criteria. And Quran says that one who has no faith in Amir al-Mu'mineen, such a person, his actions are void, are null. And it is, whatever he does, it's haqqa amal, it's just washed away. All that good has no weight, it doesn't carry any weight. Kufr, infidelity, sinning, Allah has made it hateful for your heart. So with that excuse that we have yaqeen that Allah's grace is there, Allah's favors are there, we also know that this is wrong, this is a sin, but we will do it, hoping that Allah will forgive. It's that policy, just keep it in mind, it covers only accidental damages, not damages that are done knowingly. A Muslim hates sin. We must be very careful that we don't fall into these traps that are laid by Shaitan. One of the beautiful azkar that we have is the Zikr Yunusi here. We talked about it the other day, that when Prophet Yunus in the belly of that fish was punished for 30 years, was detained for 30 years, then his zikr was this, that La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And it is recommended that the best format to perform this zikr is that a person bows down in sajda and recites that as much as possible. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Says that I wonder how a person is trapped in grief and does not seek help from this glorious recital, which is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. May Allah in this glorious month help us in understanding and knowing ourselves, in reducing this distance between us and Allah, in distancing from Iblis, in understanding His deen, in knowing what Haqq is. May Allah expedite in the return of our Imam, and then may it be as such that we hear the call of the Mubarak voice of Imam al-Asr in this month, inshaAllah. Muslims worldwide, those who are oppressed especially, may Allah ease them. The oppressors, wheresoever they are, may Allah clean the surface of this earth from their existence. Wa'ajjal fi faraji mawlana wa sahib al-zaman.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.